Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, improvisers. It is January 25th, 2025, as I record this. And this time, Val and I are joined by Elise Iovino, who joined Synergy Theater in 2023. We talk about Synergy's current show, Improvised Law and Order, Elise's experience as an after-school instructor with Synergy Theater for K through 5th grade kids, and Elise's work as an intuitive psychic. Improvised Law and Order, part of Synergy's current season at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California, are sold-out shows. You can find more info about the current season and Synergy's after-school programs at synergytheater.com. Okay, on to the interview. All right, Val and Elise are here with me. I feel so lucky, especially because I know the two of you are just coming from the Lesher Center. And please tell me, how did it go? Elise, you start.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. It was a great show. I think the audience really loved it. It was definitely different from the other shows, which is always what Synergy is about. But monkeys in the courtroom, right? It was a little bit of a zoo.
I'm surprised it was monkeys and not unicorns.
Yeah, Law and Order has taken a turn where we have animal communicators on the stand. But it was a really fun show. I thought it went great.
Amazing. And Elise, can you take us back just a little bit? I'd like to know what that moment was like when you first heard, okay, our next show is going to be Improvised Law and Order. Your first reaction, Elise, was what?
I was like, heck yes. I was super excited. I have always loved that show. And I also feel like it's such a recognizable show for a lot of people. So I was really excited. Plus, when I was younger, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I really wanted to be a lawyer at one point. So it definitely was exciting for me to be able to get to play a lawyer in the show as well.
Who was the person within the Synergy Theater family was the one that brought this to you first?
I think it was Ken who announced it when he was announcing this season. I think everybody was really excited. It seemed like it was a favorite of the group for sure.
Yes, it's such a long running show. There's brand recognition, right?
Absolutely.
It seems to be very crowd pleasing and a crowd favorite. I am usually able to get a ticket closer to the date. I was not able to get a ticket for today, and I was both disappointed and elated at the same time. So what was today's sold out audience like?
It was a good crowd. It had a lot of fans of Synergy that come consistently, a lot of recognizable faces in the audience. So we're super grateful to have them always come back. Sundays seem to be, in general for us, a really popular day, the Sunday matinees, where we see a lot of familiar faces. So the crowd was really active, super fun. That always helps us on stage as well.
Last night's show, Saturday night, was sold out too.
I know. It's really exciting. This is, since I've been with Synergy, these are our first sold out shows that I've been a part of. It's definitely exciting for what it seems for us to be back with some really full audiences since COVID.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah.
So what was it like today to be in the Vukasin Theater in the Lesher Center, improvise Law and Order? What roles did you play?
Today, I was actually the suspect who got arrested and charged with murder of my wife, who was murdered with the audience suggestion of a invisible weapon, who was also in a career of monkey training. So there was a lot of animals and magic involved today.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Now, did one of the cast play an animal? Because that sometimes happens.
Yes, multiple cast members played animals today. We definitely had multiple scenes where cast members played some large primates. We had Adrian on the stand being a monkey who was testifying against me, who did amazing as he always does with his character work. And then one fun scene, Rachel's character at one point was endowed as being in an underground occult of squirrels. And she was almost like this Snow White character who, when she sang, could control squirrels. So when she was in the squad car about to be arrested in the first act, she sang and called on her squirrels to attack Griffin and Adrian as the detectives, and she escaped. So that was a fun scene. We had a lot of the cast members playing squirrels as well, angry squirrels, which was fun.
It's too good. It's too
It
good to be true. Like
was
if you had an AI that would generate improvised outlines, like plots,
right.
it could not do this
It could
still.
not do that. It could
No.
not do that. It was a great scene. That was probably one of my a couple of my favorite scenes was that car scene with Rachel's like beautiful, like Snow White voice, and then these just like angry squirrels attacking the cops. And then Adrian on the stand as the monkey with Griffin being the monkey translator was hilarious. It was
Oh.
definitely some great scene work.
Oh, I love it. Now, last night's show and Friday night's or Thursday night's show, Thursday was the opening. Were the shows as funny as humor based, or has there been some serious type plots?
There's been a really good mix, I feel like. I feel like Thursday's opening night show was a little bit more structured, although it was fun themes that were not like quite like as serious as obviously the Law and Order show would be, as the novel defense for that one was meat psychosis, meat induced psychosis. But it definitely had a little bit more of a serious feel versus tonight's got a little bit more fun, right? With the animals. We're always trying to leverage the audience suggestions, having it be a little bit more in the mystic, magical realm and animal realms. We're always going to honor those suggestions and just play and let the plots play out as they will. But they've all been very different shows.
Did you have a concern at the outset? So the theme is very promising. You're excited about it. Then you guys dig into rehearsal. Was there a concern that bubbled up in your mind as you were actually putting theory into practice here?
There's always concerns as we start working through the new formats, I feel. And then we always wind up pulling it off. One of the concerns I had, and this is just in the sense that we don't get to really practice at the Lesher, we have a lot of scene changes with furniture, moving tables and chairs around to create the courtroom scene, the different police office area, the district attorney's area. The moving of the furniture, having not gotten to practice that, was something that was on my mind, but we obviously figured that out pretty quick. I would say just this show has such great structure, and at the same time, there's so many ways you could go with it, especially in the second half act, where you could do a lot of the scenes in the courtroom. You could do a lot of scenes still investigating the crime. There's all different types of defenses. It's a lot to work with. It's amazing because you have so much to work with, but at the same time, we had to practice or try to at least practice all these different options, especially because when you're in a show that has so much legalities to it and you want to honor the show, we've had to brush up also on like understanding like the legal terms and all the things that we could utilize in the show to really honor the show as well.
Do you have a favorite Law and Order character?
I'm not really good with names, but I like the original, like one of the original cast. There was one of the detectives that I really liked.
Forget about the name, but you like the detective role? Is that the one that you like to see?
I like the detective roles, but then now that I'm thinking about it, there was that one. I think he was the attorney for a pretty long run. He had like the gray hair. He was the older man. And I really liked his character. He's always
Yes.
great. He
Yes.
was always great.
I think that he was an anchoring character of the show. When you hear the words Law and Order, you think of this character. Val, what was your perception of today's show?
Oh, it was great fun. I mean, how can you not have fun with monkeys and squirrels in a courtroom? It was exactly as wacky as Elise described. And honestly, starting out with an imaginary weapon, like, where is this going to go? How are we going to make this cohesive? And of course they did it. It was amazing. It was funny. Audience, they loved every minute, truly. I enjoyed it so much today.
And how were the audiences on Thursday night and Friday night? I know that you often sit in the front row and you yep. have your camera and you are recording everything. And as we've discussed before, there is a different personality to each audience.
I have to say that they've all been very similar. They're clearly Law and Order fans. They truly are. Even some of the younger kids we had, because it's a matinee, there were some younger kids today, but they just ate it up. They love the courtroom scene. They love that judge, the gaveling. It's all great fun. Because we've had such big audiences too, there's a natural energy in the room already. The players, they're just feeding off each other. The suggestions, it was just so great. Opening night with the meat scene. I've been naming these because to try to keep them straight. So Thursday with all the meat-induced psychosis was murder well done. Because Ben Piper had to say, oh yeah, that was, your case was well done. A lot of meat jokes Thursday night. And then Friday night, we had three dentists. So there was a lot of oral humor. That was a murder with good oral hygiene. And then last night was wigs. We had like wig makers involved. I called it murder. It's a hairy situation. It's just, again, we're having so much fun.
Elise, do you still get nervous before you go on stage?
100%. Absolutely. I get nervous all the time. And I will say though that the group is so great at getting us all excited, but I definitely get nervous. But once I'm out there, I feel less nervous because I tell people I sort of just like black out. I feel like I don't really remember what happens at the show half the time when I'm on stage. I'm like, what did I just do? And I have to almost rewatch it or have people remind me. I still get nerves. I definitely still get nerves.
Will you please tell us more about your background in acting and how you found Synergy Theater or how Synergy Theater found you and what I'm guessing was immediately appealing to you about Synergy Theater?
Absolutely. I always loved acting when I was younger, wanted to be an actress, as many young ones do. And I really only did it minimally. I was in like a couple school plays when I was younger, but I actually focused more on music and I didn't really get into theater or acting until the pandemic was the first time I really ever did improv. And I was doing it on Zoom. So I had met someone right before the pandemic who was doing improv classes, and I was going to go to one of her classes. And we had the pandemic hit, we're all on lockdown, and she did it online. And I wound up meeting just a ton of people, some of whom we even play with. Geraldine, who was a guest performer for this show, I met her a few years ago on Zoomprov. Just playing with a bunch of people all throughout the country. I was doing improv on Zoom every day during the pandemic at times, and even started my own little improv team with some people I'd met. I started a community called A Lot More Better Improv and Self-Expression, where we would run just online jams during the pandemic that were just fun for adults, for anybody who wanted to come and just play and find some joy in our lives in a lot of ways. So I was doing that for years. When the pandemic opened up, I did some in-person improv a bit. So I did a lot of improv, but not much stage work, if I'm being honest. And then I actually went through quite a big life and career transition a couple years ago, where I was in a corporate job for 15 plus years. I left that job and I was starting my own thing. So I was looking for also just some other forms of income or ways to use my time. And I saw Ken on Facebook through some improv place I followed on Facebook post about the teachers for his K-5 program, teaching theater to children K-5 after school. I was like, I think I could do that. And I applied, I met Ken, I took that job for Synergy, and I did an improv class, which I think was with you, Sarah. And he invited me to be a guest performer for My Dearest Love. And then I'm so grateful and lucky for me, they invited me to be a permanent cast member. So it's been really fun and amazing. And I absolutely was super drawn to Synergy before I had been asked to be a guest performer when I was working just with the school. I saw Z for Zombies. It was the first time I saw Synergy perform. And I was mesmerized because all the improv I had done had been mostly whose line is it anyway type of improv. That's what I've seen and had been exposed to. When I saw them do like full length theater shows improvised that seemed scripted, I was like, what is this team? I was like, man, I wish I could do that one day. And then a couple months later, I got to. So I feel like I manifested something very special and magical in my life, and I'm very grateful for it.
Well, you fit right in with the team. And Val, I know, will back me up on this. We love seeing what you're going to do next on stage, because it's going to be very witty. It's going to be funny. And you're not going to see it coming, right, Val?
Absolutely. I want to mention that Elise is such a strong female character. The first time I saw your photo for My Dearest Love, and I hadn't met you yet. I was printing posters and doing marketing stuff, and I saw your photo and I thought, oh, she looks so petite. She looks so tiny. And she looks so delicate. I wonder if she's going to be loud enough. These were just first thoughts. And the first time I saw you on stage, and you have quite a loud voice, you can talk, you carry all the way to the back of the theater, and you have a commanding presence on the stage, which is awesome for women, because truthfully, women are more soft-spoken, or they allow the men to be louder, and at least absolutely, she does not. Last night, you were like your own attorney.
Oh, yeah.
that was so good, Sarah. She was so good.
I could see Elise as a lawyer, for sure. A trial lawyer.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good.
Oh, thank you, Val. I appreciate that. I remember, I think one of the first practices I had with Synergy for My Dearest Love, I think Ken gave me the note, speak up. And ever since then, I was like, be loud. So I took that note to heart. But I will say, I don't think I've ever been called quiet once in my life. I can thank my parents and my New York upbringing for that. My father's 100% Italian New York, and my mom's Polish Jewish New York from Brooklyn. Our family is just extremely loud. If you wanted to be heard, you had to pretty much yell. So I will thank them for that. I'll give them kudos.
Sarah, her parents come to every show too.
Oh, really?
It's been amazing.
Except today, because they couldn't get a ticket in time, I will say.
Again, it's a happy problem.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. At least growing up and in class, everyone would be talking. I was the one that got in trouble because my voice just happened to carry above everybody else's. Did you have a similar experience when you were young?
I'm sure I did. I wasn't quite a class clown, but I do feel like my voice definitely carried. So I could relate to that. Someone's like, how come we're always getting in trouble?
In your childhood, you were talking about going more into music, but there had to have been experiences when you were a kid that had to do with acting and drama. You also said you always wanted to be an actor. Did you have someone that you were looking up to when you were a child?
When I think about my childhood and how I wanted to be on stage and performing, I always think of my grandma. She was my dad's mom. And I grew up in New York, and she pretty much raised me. My parents were really young when they had me. I think they were 25 when they had me. So they were still really young. And we lived with my grandparents. And my grandma always, I felt like I was like the performer. I would sing and dance for her friends. She'd role play with me. We'd have nights where I'd pretend I was Miss America and she'd ask me all these questions. And I remember I even think she took me to a couple auditions when I was really young. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I auditioned for the Oscar Mayer Wiener commercials too. I have a memory of going to Wienermobile and singing that song. But she was just really supportive of me. And, you know, just fond memories of grandma telling you that you were like a star and wanting to be on stage. And I did dance a lot too. I tap danced when I was younger. I did like being on stage and in costume.
What do you think she saw in you? She saw something there.
I will say this. My grandma, I just feel like she looked at me like I was special and magic. Like, you always have that one person in your life where you feel like you're their favorite. I think I was her favorite. She would say she'd have no favorites, but everybody said of all her grandkids, I was definitely the favorite. We had a really special bond, I think, because she raised me. But she was also loud and happy and outspoken and expressive. So I feel like I get a lot of my personality from her.
It makes a world of difference to have at least one person in your life like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, totally. And I was born in 86. So that was just about when everyone was getting video cameras. And my dad, I mean, I have so many home movies of me either singing or play acting, Disney songs or movies. I had a camera in my face like at a very young age. I guess now children do all the time. It's like our camera phones. But I feel like I grew up with being recorded and liking it though. That's something I feel like that stood out too when I think about it.
I was tasked with explaining what a tape cassette was today to a 12-year-old, and I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
But there were questions, so many questions. Like, what do you mean tape?
Yeah, what do you mean tape? I remember just even when I was young, when I was in middle school, you'd put your tape cassette on your radio and I would tape record the radio station so I'd have music. Before we had the CDs, I used to
yes.
like tape record the radio.
Right. Oh, man. And here we are today.
Here we are.
Coming out of Zoomprov.
Right.
Oh, it's a wonderful world. It really is. So, Elise, what have you learned now that we've gone through the first weekend, opening weekend of improvised Law and Order, that you're going to carry with you to next weekend's group of shows?
We always learn a lot the first week run. And for me personally, it's keep deepening the relationships. I think for at least for me and for the audiences, even just like getting to know the victim, like getting a little bit more of their backstory. Who are they? Make them really care about the victim. Getting to know the victim through those who loved and knew the victim is something that we can keep focusing on for next week, because that gets the audience connected to even wanting the defendant to be found guilty. I think if you've noticed, I don't know if the prosecution has won yet. They lost today. We were a mistrial last night, and I don't think they won the first nights. Not that I'm rooting for the prosecution, although I will be a lawyer Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I will be rooting for myself. I also think it's fun to find the moral theme of the show, because if we look at the Law and Orders, there seems to be always something about what's going on in the world or what's going on politically or what's the moral, the ethical piece of this to play around with. That's more of a little bit of the serious that we can weave throughout all the fun of the show. For me, those are the two things that I will definitely be focusing on in terms of like creating a really rich story for the audience.
Now, I always love to ask, what surprised you?
Ooh, what surprised me so far in this run? Maybe this is because I'm somewhat new to Synergy. I had a lot of confidence in this show, but I still felt like with all the different moving of the furnitures and not having worked on the opening sequence in the beginning, I was just surprised at how really solid and smooth opening night went. I also was really surprised. I mean, I thought the audience would love the opening sequence that we choreographed, but I was actually really pleasantly surprised to see how much they loved it. I feel like that was such a crowd pleaser. So that was really fun. And then I'm always still surprised at how even in rehearsal, we have funny moments, but it seems like every time we get on stage, there's just a lot more laughter and humor that even in like a serious show like this, that gets brought to the stage. I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more serious. I feel like out of the shows I've been in, probably the show that's been getting the most laughs.
Oh, wow. Now that is a surprise. Can you tell us a little bit about the format without going into too many spoilers?
The format is very much similar to the show. So the first act is the law part. So you have the two detectives who are investigating the murder of the victim at the beginning. It starts off very similar to the Law and Order cold open, where, you know, you have a couple people who are going about their day and then you run into a dead body. And that's when we have the audience gives us suggestions. And that first half is all about investigating the murder and making an arrest. And then the second act is all about the two prosecuting attorneys and the defense attorney, and it's the order part. So you're in court a lot. Will this person that has been arrested be found guilty or not guilty? So it's playing out the courtroom and the trial.
Did the format change from now and going back to your rehearsals?
In this particular show, I feel like Ken came in with a vision and we kept it very much focused on that vision. I actually feel like from what the outline was in the beginning, we had really not changed the format at all. We really stuck to the format. The one piece that was probably the most challenging for us to weave in was audience suggestions in this one and finding fun ways to include the audience throughout the show. So that was probably the biggest piece that we were working through that changed from the beginning to now.
Elise, when are you going to direct a show?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. I am thinking about it. Maybe not next season, but the season after I'll be ready. I have some ideas for shows. I'm noodling on what type of show I would want to direct, but I keep getting that question. So maybe not next season, but maybe the season after. I will put my hat in the ring for it.
Will it be a drama or a comedy-based show?
It'll be a little bit more on the drama. I'm a little bit more of a dramatic improviser. I play a little bit more grounded characters. And so it would be in the realm, the genre of drama or maybe even Halloweenish scary type of vibe. Because I always did love growing up Goosebumps and scary stories and things like that. So it could be maybe on the scary horror front as well, perhaps.
What's a favorite storyline in that genre for you?
Ooh, a favorite storyline. One of the shows I'd been using as an inspiration is when I was younger on Nick at Night, or SNICK, was it Nickelodeon, was Are You Afraid of the Dark? Those campfire scary story tales, I feel like are always fun. So I thought that could be a fun type of show, or just following more of those like scary campfire tales or ghost stories I really like. So paranormal activities and ghost stuff, I think that would be kind of fun to do.
And speaking of fun, you're teaching which grade, did you say, with drama after school?
Yeah, so Synergy has a part of Synergy Theater. Ken runs his after school program. I think he called it Adventure Club, I think. And it is actually a mix. So it is K through five all together after school. That's fun. It's a very interesting and challenging and fun hour of my days when I teach, because to get a kindergartner and a fifth grader to agree on something that is fun at the same time is a challenge that I'm presented with weekly.
You weren't scared to take that on?
I may be more nervous every time I'm teaching than I am getting on stage for the shows.
Talk about a tough crowd.
It's a tough crowd, especially there could be anywhere between probably an average of like 15 kids and just me. So I'll tell you, that is a tough crowd. It's an intimidating group, those K through fives.
Wow. And they are benefiting you, though, just by their energy and the questions that they ask and how they perform. So what are you learning from the kids?
Oh man, the kids are amazing. They are so intelligent. I mean, it blows my mind. I don't have children. So when I get to spend those days and those hours with them, my mind is blown and how intelligent they are. And especially their imagination is just, it's really inspiring to be around a child's imagination and what they'll come up with. And although I teach them the theater skills, I love weaving in actually a lot of improv, and they really love the improv games. I remember when Ken was training me, he asked me to just like throw out some games, and I threw out some pretty sophisticated games that we'd play or activities we'd do as adults in improv class. And the kids just picked it up just like that. They are super intelligent. I learned so much from them, especially in the imaginary space, and also their courage to just be bold and go out there and express themselves. I was very surprised to see how like not shy they were. they're so willing to get up there and go for it. It's great to be around them.
Well, that would be one big advantage that kids would have over adults coming into improv or drama for the first time. By the time you're an adult, you're pretty self-conscious, mostly, not everybody. What other advantages do kids, in your experience, have over adults?
One, probably energy. They definitely have no lack for energy. I definitely am low energy after that class, but it pumps you up while you're there. But I mean, man, they have a lot of energy. Also, just their ability to learn, like they're way more open-minded. They're very teachable. They're not rigid already in ways of thinking. They're just super open to exploration and new things. And also character work. I mean, they are not afraid to get silly. They'll do fun, crazy characters. They'll be any animal you want them to be. They're very expressive and comfortable in their skin.
I love this. I try to learn from kids as much as I can. The lessons when you are approaching drama, improv, but also just your day. If you tried to be a little bit less shy, if you took care of yourself so that you had enough energy, if you remembered your imagination and the importance of it and to trust it during the day, try to remain open-minded no matter who you're listening to. And hey, be okay to be silly. I mean, what if we approached every day with that all in mind?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I just love about improv so much is even when I was in any of my work environments, I feel like play is just it's so healing just to bring joy and play and not take everything so serious all the time and finding time out to just have fun, be silly, express yourself and be in comfortable environments where you're not judged for that you're being yes anded. During the pandemic, I was doing just a lot of my own healing work and going through a lot of life transitions. And I feel like improv, you could go through therapy, you could do all these different healing modalities, but I feel like improv and play is such a powerful healing modality because you get to learn how to fully express yourself. And the rule is yes. You get to hear a yes. No matter what you do, someone's got your back and they're yes anding you. And so having that happen over and over and over and be validated in your pure expression helps you open up and get to know yourself more. A lot of my transformation and big life changes that I've made and me getting to know myself and be a happier person has all been because of improv.
Let's talk more about that, Elise, because I've heard you allude to this before. One of the things that I have seen on stage is you are willing to trust your intuition. And that is a high skill because as adults, I find because we're taught to be critical thinkers and weigh pros and cons, something happens while we make that effort, and it's a good effort. It's good to be wise. Something happens to our trust of our own intuition during that process. And I wish there was a way you could do that, but not lose the trust in your first thought, in your first reaction to a situation, in your first imaginative idea. Does this resonate with you?
Totally. A lot of the times we're taught we have to do something a certain way, or if we do it this way, or if we don't do this, something bad's going to happen, or someone may not like me, or it's the wrong thing to do. With improv, you're in a container that is a safe space that allows you to practice that. A lot of the times when we're trying to trust ourselves and trust our intuition, we're not in those safe environments that are giving us that validation back. When you're in an improv container where there's these people who are like, we're playing by these certain rules of the container, which is yes anding expression, it helps you practice and feel safe doing it in that container. And then you bring it out into your everyday life. I now work actually as a psychic medium. One of the ways that I opened up my channel to be able to trust my intuition, my abilities, was improv, because it allows me to trust what I was receiving and allow like my channel to just flow. I truly believe that a lot of my gifts opening up and my natural gifts, but me being able to hone in on my intuition and those abilities was because of containers like improv that helped me feel safe and heal those parts of me that didn't feel safe trusting what I was feeling, what I was thinking, the thoughts that were coming into my head. Like to be able to have that container, to be able to do that in a safe space is very, very powerful.
Now, I got the vibe from you that, okay, Elise comes across to me to be someone who would make a really good intuition coach. What do you think?
With my clients, I obviously do psychic readings for them, but I also have been dabbling in the space of where I do coach them, or I help them open up their intuition, or I teach them. I work with tarot a lot. I've been working on teaching people tarot. I'm actually more of a channeler that is channeling information that uses the cards as a tool, as a prompt, like almost like a suggestion. And I channel off of them. When I teach people how to read cards, I'm not necessarily teaching them the definitions of the cards, because that's almost, it's not wrong, but that's almost like the normal way of, hey, this card means this, I should do it this way, versus actually opening up to your own way of receiving information. And how do they want to read the cards? Maybe they're looking at the pictures. Maybe they're looking at the colors. Maybe they like the symbolism. There's all different ways for people to get their own information. What I like to do to help support people, or maybe what I'll try to do more in the future, if you're feeling that vibe from me, is help them trust themselves and hear themselves. One of the ways that I've been thinking of teaching those who want to open up their intuition or even psychic abilities is using improv. Because that is one of the ways I feel like you feel comfortable opening up your channel and trusting yourself. So it's been a very powerful combination for me. Improv can help people open up their intuition. Even those who are interested in opening up their psychic abilities, improv is an amazing tool for that.
What you were saying made me think or remember is that when someone comes to another person and they're looking for advice, wouldn't it be wonderful if that person who is going to give the advice made the person who has the question feel as though they're not lost, feel as though they actually have everything that they want and need to go forward in whatever direction is right for them or good for them. I won't use the word right because life is long in that respect. For whatever direction that they or step that they take next, they are capable of taking that next step and experiencing and benefiting from whatever situation they find themselves in. I regret for many adults all the fear that we deal with. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. All of us experience fear. All of us are looking for support. Even those who are doing it from a place of good intention, we often want to help people solve the problem, right? We want to be problem solvers. We want to help them. But one of the most powerful ways to do that, to your point, is to help them trust themselves, to just give them presence, like loving presence, be there for them, be an open ear, an open loving presence for them to express how they're feeling, what's going on with them, and then support them in finding what their own truth is. That's like that gut feeling, right? Like we all have that true knowing, that gut feeling. Oftentimes we just can use support to find that in ourselves and then to help really validate and emphasize that truth in us, to mirror that back, to be these mirrors of the other person. We're in a culture where we want to just solve the problem or help someone solve the problem.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily what they need at that time.
Mm-hmm. And there's also this influence to pick a camp. And what I really, really like about Synergy Theater, and Val, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I think what is really working and will continue to really work is you hold that space for each other when you're on stage. You all know no matter what idea comes, everyone's going to embrace it and mirror it. And you are right. You are accepted. You are a performer who is here to tell a cohesive story. And hey, if you have a blank mind moment, I'm here for you. And that comes across as an audience member myself. That comes across on stage. And it's a joy to see. What do you think, Val?
I hear it almost every time from audience members that, first off, that they don't believe it's improvised because they have such, they're they coordinate with each other so well. They can read cues. They can jump into a scene. They make improvising look so easy, and we know it's not. And then even the ushers tonight like to comment on seeing the familiar faces. They like seeing them like a family and just supporting one another. It's just such a positive and fun environment. I heard so much laughter. People were just grabbing cards for the next show, Dungeons and Dragons, in April. It's so good to see the audiences come back and support Synergy again.
Yes, it is. It truly is. And thank you, Elise, for bringing this up earlier about the Zoom proving, because I don't think I'll ever get tired of being reminded how grateful I am to be back in the audience live.
I love Zoomprov and I think it's amazing. And it's so fun to be back with everybody and be in person. It's a completely different vibe being on stage. It's a very different energy. Both are great, but the more and more I get to perform on stage, the more I love it. I'll always have a special place in my heart for Zoomprov and online improv, because it has its own flavor, its own skills to it. And you can do so much with it. But the stage performance is definitely something that I'm very much loving.
Yes, I love being in the audience, but I have continued with the online class on Sundays with Ken. It's a small group, sometimes a larger group of people in his Sunday class. And that class is so fun. And I've met people through that class that are in New York, that are other places in the world. And I never would have had that experience without Zoomprov.
I tell people that I met more friends during the pandemic than I did my entire life. I've met people from all over the country, all over the world. My actual Zoomprov team, we do an improvised sitcom. We're from all over the United States. We had only met on Zoomprov during the pandemic, and two of them live in Atlanta. One lives in Connecticut, one lives in New York, one lives in San Diego. We all get together about every year and do a live performance together. It's been great, and learn from amazing improvisers that were not able to be on stage during the pandemic. I was grateful to be able to learn from all of them.
Do you still perform as a group online?
We do. We're on, like, I think season 10, season 11 of Live from the Asylum. We go live on Facebook during our seasons, and we use the Zoomprov format in the sense that we're making a improvised sitcom. So it would be virtual regardless. Our format is every week we actually have a guest performer. So we always find a guest improver and we ensemble around the guest every week.
Wonderful. Now, how would people find that?
You can find it on Facebook. Follow Live from the Asylum on Facebook. I think we're in season 11 right now. We're doing them every other week now. You can find us on Facebook.
And what other activities have you been up to? How would people get a hold of you as far as your intuition coaching or mysticism work?
You can follow me on Instagram at the Modern Mystic 222. And there I post collective tarot readings and psychic readings. It's also a link to my website if anyone ever needs a psychic reading or an intuitive coach.
Love it. Now, if you had an improv magic wand, how would you use it?
What I would do right now, if I had an improv magic wand, just because we're selling out shows, I would make our Leisure Center space even bigger so we can get more people to see us for the next week of Law and Order. I'm going to use it for good, for all of Synergy.
Yes, yes. Oh, this improv magic wand can only be used for good.
Yes.
Okay. Val, if you had an improv magic wand, how would you use it?
I already have my magic wand. I get to go to all the shows, and what more can I ask for? Thankfully, Ken has allowed me to come to the shows and video and film, photograph everything as much as I want. I'm perfectly happy. But of course, I second the motion of getting a bigger theater. I think we're bursting at the seams now. So I'm okay with stepping up to a larger theater.
And Val, what would you like everyone to know about improvised Law and Order?
Oh, well, come. Even if you don't think you like seeing police and courtrooms, this is an especially fun show. I'm shocked at how enjoyable and funny it is. It totally works. Seeing detectives botch the Miranda rights or the defense attorney almost dying in the courtroom. Those are hilarious. I mean, Elise, your group, they're amazing.
Elise, how would you define or describe your experience this far to someone who was like, yeah, sure, that sounds fun. I'll get a ticket. I want to go. What's it like?
I would say if you go to a Synergy show, what I'm so proud of to be as a group where I constantly get the feedback for the first time people see it is, wait, that's not scripted. Be prepared to have a lot of laughs and be surprised that we're not scripted. This is really, truly improvised on the spot, based off audience suggestions, improv theater. I'm with such an intelligent and talented group of people that can weave a story and get up on stage and make offers and create dialogue, really intelligent dialogue, just off the cuff is exciting. And it's my funnest part about those who see the show for the first time. It's like, wait, that's improv? You're not practicing lines?
Is there anything else that we can mention or highlight or promote for you?
Just come to the shows. Synergy Theater. I would love to have anyone who's listening come support the team and have just a good night out. It's a good night out.
It truly is. And you'll depart feeling so much better than you did when you walked in. I don't care if you are happy-go-lucky when you come in the door, you will feel even better and more fulfilled as you exit, because in my experience, every show was highly enjoyable and just affirming in all the creative ways. Thank you both so much for being here tonight. Elise, I'm sure that, well, I'm not going to say I'm sure, but I'm thinking you might want to eat a power bar and go to bed, because yeah, I can imagine what your weekend has been like. Thank you again so much for agreeing to do this. This was great. Val, thank you. You too.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay. Talk to you soon. And I'll see you both very soon at the Lesher Center inside the Vukasin Theater for Improvised Law and Order and Improvised Dungeons and Dragons. And then, Val, what's going to round off the season?
Hitchcock, of course.
Oh, now that was an entire run of sold out shows, Elise.
Here we come. Yep.
Here we go.
It's going to be huge.
Yep. All right. Thank you both so much.
Good night.
Talk to you soon. And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.